Well, today we're talking about one church. And let's go back to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I know I've read this about every Sunday for a long time now, but there's still other things to be found here. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and I'm going to read this from the Message translation. And like I have said, I think last Sunday, that these verses in Acts is the standard for us. Something for us to shoot for. But we know that the latter house is going to be greater than the former house. So we have to hit this standard, and then we need to go beyond, because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So this is going to take faith. This is going to take believing, you know, the word and looking at these things. And we've come a long way over the years of this ministry, but we still have some areas of weakness and things we can grow in. So we're looking to God to help us. But in verse 32, Message translation says this: the whole congregation, isn't this amazing? Whether it's 2 or 5 or 500, the whole congregation of believers was united as one. That's not easy. One heart, one mind. Meaning, I mean, spiritually they were in agreement, but also in their minds. They were in agreement. They didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. No one said, "That's mine, you can't have it." They shared everything. So in an environment of one accord, in an environment where people are united, there's going to be a whole lot of sharing going on. It's not about what I can get, it's about what I can give. And as members of our Good News Church, part of membership is sharing. That we're called upon to share in a greater way, to look out for each other. They shared everything. The apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus. And grace was on all of them. And so it turned out that not a person among them was needy. And that's our goal. That's our dream. That we have a church where there's no needs. Wouldn't that be an awesome situation where we had so much abundance, we just had to pray to know how to distribute it? And that, again, that's where we're going. And those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the price of the sale to the apostles and made an offering of it. Then the apostles then distributed according to each person's need. Now, God's got an interesting definition of one. The Trinity means three in one. So there, one means three. And when people are married, it says they become one. So there, one is two. But then it says that we're all members of the body of Christ. And then it says that we're one body. So I don't know how many Christians are in the earth. I mean, we'll just say a billion. God's definition of one in that situation is a billion. So he's got it, you know, so we're talking about one. He's got a different idea. And it's the power of the Trinity, of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the power of them coming together and being in agreement. The power of a couple coming into agreement. The power of a congregation coming into agreement. Let's look over in Matthew 18. And we'll just see a little bit of what can happen when people come together. Matthew 18, verse 19, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, "Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together." You ever been to a symphony? Isn't it amazing? You have all these different instruments playing at the same time and making beautiful music. And that's what he's saying here about people coming together, playing together, making a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. So the power of agreement, and you can understand why the enemy doesn't want us to be in agreement. When we come together, awesome things come. It says here, whatever we ask, whatever we need, whatever we declare. Verse 20 says, for wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers and into my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now you see how it says I am? The reference in my Bible says Exodus 3:14, and that's where it talks about I am who am. So when we come together, and it just doesn't say it has to be a large group, but two or three are gathered in my name, in the name of Jesus, it says the great I am is in your midst. And if he's in your midst, then miracles and the power of God's going to be there. All that he is. And so, you know, being one and being unified, it's the challenge that we all face. It's a difficult thing. And we have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the enemy knows the power of unity, so he's going to do whatever he can. And he's got all kinds of strategies to bring offense, to bring division, to bring strife, so that we don't work together. And obviously, and I, you know, he's doing a pretty good job in the marriages, talking about Christian marriages, half of them end in divorce. That's among believers. And you know, how many, you know, and thank God, and we're not having that, but, I mean, who's been in a church that's split? Now, is that a fun experience? Does that just make, you know, give you goosebumps and make you feel real good? I mean, it is some serious stuff. The anger, the hatred, the things being said against each other. It's not a pleasant thing. That's in the church. What's happening in the world? But he wants us to be unified. He wants us to come together. He wants us to come into agreement. Because when we do, amazing, powerful things will happen. And read through, do a little study on this. Look up the word one accord. And then look about what happens when the church came into one accord. It talks about great power. It talks about great unity. It talks about people being added to the church daily. It talks about believers added increasingly. It talks about disciples being added. One reference says, great joy in the city. That because they were in one accord, it impacted the city. And there was great joy. How many would like to have some great joy in Augusta? Could Aiken or, you know, Hephzibah or Grovetown or Evans, North Augusta, I mean, could they use a little joy? And that's what happens when people come together. It's not just for that group. It spills out. And it affects everybody. But now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and having all things in common. Again, they're sharing. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily, this is a daily thing, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. How many want to see that? How many desire that? Adding to the church daily those being saved. That you have a place where lost people, hurting people can come. It's a light. It's attracting people. But one of the words that I did a little study on here in Acts here is the word church. And in the Greek, it's the word ecclesia. And when we started this church years ago, this will be our 17th year in November, as we were talking about the name of the church and the vision of the church, we on purpose said we were going to be a church. We weren't going to be a teaching center or a fellowship or a temple or all the different names. But we decided we're going to be a church. And I recognize that was God. And I do like Good News Church, by the way. I love our name. Good News, Gospel, the Word, all that God is, Church. But this word is interesting. The church doesn't mean just a group of people getting together. Well, I decided, I'm going to go to Good News Church, or I'm going to go to this church, and I'm just going to go and we're going to get together. The word actually means one who is summoned. One who is summoned and one who is called. And it's not called by any particular person. You're called by God. And that kind of makes you think a little differently about where you're going. And then when we come together, we're not coming to hear from any man. We're coming to hear the voice of God. We're coming to hear the voice of God and respond to the voice of God. And church is important to God. And also to realize this word has several different parts of it. It means the universal church first and foremost. That this church is a part of the body of Christ. And our allegiance is not to Good News Church. Our allegiance is to the body of Christ. And we have to keep that in mind. That we're part of a bigger church that's doing things all over the world. And it's amazing right now and on Sundays and any different. I mean, there are people worshiping in China, in Brazil, in Russia, Pakistan. And we are all connected to that. And the one church, the universal church, the body of Christ, has a job to do. We're not just getting together so we can eat fried chicken together. Although that'd be good, wouldn't it? We're friends with a cause. We have a purpose. And for the body of Christ, it's called the Great Commission. Remember that? Matthew 28, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so our church is a part of the body of Christ. And our vision and our mission, I read the vision, that's the mission of the church. This is what we do here. This is our language. This is the way that we interpret the Great Commission for Good News Church. Our vision and mission is not different than the Great Commission. But God has given this particular body an assignment. We've got a purpose within the larger body. And so we are called, we are summoned together for a job to do. Now there is, the aspect of fellowship and knowing people and connecting, and that is huge. I mean, if we don't know each other, we can't be one. It's difficult. And connection is part of, we say in our vision, and this is by faith, strongly, there's some particular words here, strongly connected to God and to each other. And so some of the people that are just jumping from church to church, I don't know if they have an understanding of being called or summoned. And it's important, it's difficult to be summoned when you're at home watching TV. Now, I'm not saying you can't get good things, and some people say, well, I don't need any church. Well, we need a body of believers. He said for us to assemble, and that's where we can see each other face to face and touch each other. And it's important that we do that. And it's important to our spiritual health that we do that. And so what we're involved here, we're involved in the plan of God. We're involved in God's plan. Now, we're not the only church. We have a lot of awesome churches in this area. Churches all over the world. But God's given us an assignment. And we're assembled here to carry out that assignment. We're called. And when you look at it that way, because I have a calling from God. Part of my calling is to be a pastor. And so you would like it if I was diligent with my call. Because how I handle my call affects you. Correct? And so there's certain things I want to be diligent about and things that I'm to do. Paul talks about stewarding the call. Protecting it. Guarding it. Well, in a sense, we need to begin to realize as believers, we are called by God. And to protect and guard and watch over what's been entrusted to us. And one of the things that's been entrusted to us is this church. And one of the things I'm hoping that will occur during this season of one is for more people. We have a good bit of people already get it. But for more people to realize, hey, this is my church. I'm summoned, I'm called by God to be a part of it. And a part of that calling is to take on your responsibility within the body. It's not just enough and again, you can start off here, and we certainly know that people are lost and hurting and at different places, but as you grow in the things of God, you realize to take on the responsibility that you have of being a part of this church. Which would include giving, serving, praying, participating, and it talks about great grace, the sharing, the looking out for one another. And the greater, the more that we have that, the people realize that, the greater we'll be connected. And we'll move in a greater way towards one accord. And so as we do that, every time we come into agreement in a greater way, more of the manifestation of God will be in demonstration. Now, how many are wanting the things we see in the book of Acts? But it's not the responsibility of one or two or three or four people in order for that to happen. It's all of us coming together. And we're all different parts of the body, and we all have different parts. But when we're firing on all cylinders, it's amazing what God can do. And He can do so much. I mean, certainly He can do things at your home and in your individual life and do awesome things. But when we come together, there's so much power available because of that agreement. Now, the opposite of unity is division. Division is what? Two visions. And who's the author of division? He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the author of division. Now let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this revelation of being a part of the body of Christ, I'm so thrilled we're in a group called AFCM, Association of Faith, Churches and Ministers. And we have parts of the body all over the world. And I think this year we're going to be hearing more about that here at the church. I want to do a better job of letting you know what's happening in the world. It'll really encourage you to see that we're a part of a bigger thing that's happening here. God's doing awesome things all over the world. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 says this. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. One translation says schisms. And in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Paul is rebuking the church. Now, they had a really cool practice back in the early church that they called a love feast or an agape feast. And it was a weekly meal together. It's what we would call a potluck. And everybody would bring what they had, and then they would share food together. And it was an amazing time. I mean, and then afterwards, they'd receive communion together. So there was a spiritual aspect of it to the whole thing. They ate together in a community. They had communion together. But Paul had heard about the church in Corinth. What they were doing is they you'd have, you know, rich people would bring food, and then they'd have slaves that hardly had anything. So what started happening is the folks that had more started to get together in little groups and started eating their food, and they wouldn't share. You ever played a game with a kid that wouldn't share? This is my bat. And so they'd come together. They're coming together for the meal. And so the poor didn't have anything to eat while they're sitting there, and rich folk are over there just feasting it up. But you know what's so interesting? Is there was groups within the rich people. They couldn't all eat together. And then the poor people, they had groups because they couldn't eat together. So it says that they came together not for the better. Isn't that sad if we do things where it doesn't bring unity? But there was division. And he said there was division because we wouldn't share with each other. Now, the church was a most amazing thing back in those days. And I don't know if it's recognized today as this. But back in those days, the church was the only place where you could go where you had rich and poor, slave and free, civilized and uncivilized, Romans, Greeks, Gentiles, Jews. It was the only place where they could actually go and they all got along together. And so the church was supposed to be a place where there was no barriers. It was supposed to be a place where there was no division, where people were together. And despite all the obstacles that can divide us, we came together. They came together, united as one in Jesus Christ. And what it said there in Acts, it says, great grace was upon them. And it wasn't like just God's grace being upon people, and it is that. But great grace was upon them, meaning there was great generosity. There was great love. There was great acceptance. Don't you just desire to go to a place like that? Amen. Yes. Isn't that the hope of the world? You know, why do we go to a bar? We go to a bar so we can get drunk, and after so many beers or drinks, we'll start feeling accepted. Because we're so drunk, everybody could be your friend at that point. Now, for the young people, don't listen to this, but back in my old days, we used to go down to the river, and we had a cave that we used to go drink. We build a fire and we all the different things. And it's amazing when I would drink, after like 12 beers, after about 12 beers, I started talking about God. And me and this other guy, who we would never mention God, the only time we ever mentioned God is we used his name in vain. Me and this other guy would talk about God and the Bible and all these different things. And then the moment we sobered up, we wouldn't talk about it anymore. Who's trying to reach me? But we're looking to be accepted. And shouldn't there be the church be something different? Ought to, when we come together, shouldn't we be different? Shouldn't there be no barriers of race or education or finances? Shouldn't it be we come together around Jesus? Shouldn't we be a place where there's good news? Shouldn't we be a place where there's life being given? Shouldn't this be a place where we come together to give life to each other and then help them give life in a greater way? That's the plan of God. And it's God's plan to have church. And it's necessary, even the day we're in, with all the technology, to have church, to assemble together. But we have a cause, we have a purpose. But we also have to have great grace for each other. There needs to be sharing. There needs to be generosity. That if the Spirit of God is here, there's liberty, there's freedom. And we should, at Good News Church, have every race. We should have every background. We should have every type of person. And then any type of person, you'll be welcome here. Now everybody that comes here may not stay. That's okay. But the time that they're here, they're going to be shown love. They're going to be shown respect. They are valuable and precious. They're somebody that Jesus died for. I feel like Martin Luther King today. I have a dream. So my prayer, my desire, and we're growing. And what I want to see happen in a greater way during one church, and one, is that we come together around these things and we learn, go back to some of the basics. Because you can get in ruts, and as you've been in the church in a while, and you sometimes you need people to come and look on the outside, because we start doing things in factions, and we start having cliques, and we start kind of, you know, where we used to be embracing, now we kind of turn our shoulder to people. And then little petty offenses and little things kind of happen and get in the body. And then the enemy, of course, he takes that and he makes it even bigger. He turns that molehill into a mountain. So it's going to take all of us. It's going to take everybody doing their part. Praying for each other, giving to each other. And again, like I said last Sunday, we may now be golfing buddies, skiing buddies, whatever. But we all are friends with a cause. Going back to the founding of this country, we had people from north and south all over this country come together. And how they were able to do that Declaration of Independence, it had to be God. So many differences. But they rallied for the cause. And then what they said is, even though we may not agree in everything, I'm going to lay down my life for you because this cause is greater than the both of us. See, that's just a higher level. And I want you to realize today, you're called to something. You've got a calling by God. You've got a part in this ministry. And one of my prayers is I'm praying for the gifts in people, not just my gift or Susie's gift, but the gift in all of us to come forth to bless the body. And we don't want to do things that causes division. We don't want to do things to cause schisms. So if we're doing something like that, let's get rid of it. And let's add things that bring us together. Let's add things that give life, that we can give life. So this is a real time of checkup. Time to make adjustments, time to make changes, Time to draw the line, the scorecard, say that's the past. Now I'm looking forward to the future. And we are in an awesome place. And God, we haven't even seen anything yet of what God wants to do in this body. But let's come together. Amen? And I'll read another scripture. Guys, you want to start getting ready for communion. The scripture fits perfectly with that. The rest of the verses here. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23 says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself." Now look, it's not the only part of this, but what he says is the unworthy manner. We may think it's a lot of things that we may think that would to be unworthy to partake of the elements. But look at part of what he says here. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Discerning the Lord's body. Discerning the body that we're assembled here together with. Who we're receiving communion with. How about our marriages? How about our families? How about our co-workers? How about our fellow church members? So today, as we receive communion, I want you to think about your love walk. I want you to think about the way you treat people. And then also the way you treat people here at Good News Church, because this is a place where we practice grace. We learn about and we practice grace for all kinds of people. And if we can do it in here, we can do it out there. Are we sharing? The world right now is tight-fisted. They're holding on to everything. And God's way is to give. But you know, you can withhold your money, but you can withhold your heart. Withhold your time. Are we shouldering our responsibilities as members of Good News Church? Here's a good question. Are we fostering unity or division? With our words, our thoughts, and our actions, are we bringing people together or are we fostering division? Do we see the big picture of why we're coming together? Do we see that we have a cause bigger than ourselves that's going to take all of us doing our part to bring it to pass? Amen. It's a lot there.